Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
The following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the Rad Rob Radio Network. Through the years, we all remember when we first witnessed a national tragedy.
Alabama wins!
We remember the good times and the bad times through either a song,
who's bad?
A TV show, a monumental sports achievement.
For the first time in 86 years, the Red Sox have won baseball's World Championship. Can you believe it?
Or even the smell of a particular food from when we were young.
To all beef, patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun.
Welcome to the show that will take you on a journey through time to relive those iconic moments. Welcome RTW Rewind, where old school rules. So, without any further delay, let's introduce you to the host of the show, Rad Rob Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to RTW Rewind. This is the first day of Rad Mania 4. My fourth annual celebration leading up until this weekend's WrestleMania with 7 days of shows, including post-game wrap-up shows for Night 1 and Night 2 of WrestleMania. Joining me, kicking off this event as he kicked off the Rad Rumble this year, from It's Husey, hello, Vince McMahon's best friend, maybe Vince Russo's best?
Yeah, I'd go with that.
Okay. It is the one and only Adam Hughes. Mr. Husey, what's going on, brother?
Good morning, everybody. Quite a devastating week. Fucking Taylor Hawkins is dead, which is a shame. Foo Fighters, one of the few bands I actually liked. And Italy are not going to be in the World Cup, which is horrifying because they're so good usually. And anybody who fucking can beat England is cool with me. But England will never win, and I can't fucking wait. But it's good to come and do this because this match we're going to do, and a lot of my wrestling friends laugh at me when I say this, genuinely one of my favorite matches ever, and that's not a joke.
And just because it's not a 5-star, 6-star banger like Dave Meltzer likes, the intrigue was there, the psychology was there, you have the backstory of 20 years in the making, the way they were hyping it up. The two biggest guys in the history of the business. Who can argue who started it, Hulk Hogan or Vince McMahon? Now, looking back all these years later, who do you think is responsible for the rise of the WWF or Hulkamania? Was it Vince or was it Hogan?
I don't think it's any one person. It's like my favorite film of all time is Goodfellas. Was that good just because of Ray Liotta? But fair. Then could Martin Scorsese have acted the lead role? And it's just the problem is nobody ever wants to accept that partnerships work. It's always thanks to me, like Lenny and Carl in The Simpsons. Hey, that was good teamwork. He goes, yeah, my teamwork.
All right, that's fair. That's a unique way of looking at it.
But with this match is one of the things that has made me realize is that, despite the fact that I'm a wrestling mark, I don't like pro wrestling. I like sports entertainment. And like there was some New Japan thing on the other day. And my friend Stu is a huge New Japan guy. And he was talking about how he says, oh, you should have seen the suplexes that this guy was doing and the kicks that this guy was doing. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. if I want to see real kicks, I'll watch UFC, which I honestly don't watch that much. If I watch pro wrestling, which I know is fake, why the fuck do I want reality? I want a unbelievable heel like Vince McMahon versus maybe the greatest babyface ever, Hulk Hogan. And that to me is fun. And they're doing high spots and the crowd's going fucking insane. It's just, this is exactly the sort of stuff that I like. And it is genuinely one of my favorite matches of all time.
Now, do you think that's because obviously we grew up in a different generation? We grew up with the 80s and 90s wrestling, whereas the new kids today, all they know is pretty much, you know, AEW and New Japan and all the high-flying, you know, no-selling stuff. Is that where you think the disconnect is? Is because the kids just didn't grow up with this type of wrestling?
Well, my theory on it is I spoke about this with my good, good friend Conan. We're very, very close. And I said that I think the problem is that there's wrestling fans today are mostly men or male. And guys think, oh, because I'm a guy, I have to like sports. But they don't actually like sports. They like wrestling, which they then react to as a sport. Like if you watch this match, this stadium's going absolutely apeshit nuts, roaring their heads off. If you watch a match today, somebody does like a big suplex and you get this reaction.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you don't. You go, fuck yeah, Adam Cole, you're on a roll.
All right, so just say that these two were somewhat in their prime today and we still had the current incarnation of wrestling. Do you think this match would still get over?
Not at all. But like we're at the time of recording this, it's March 27th. We're going into WrestleMania 38. There's a match that seems to be happening, Austin versus Kevin Owens. And the online critics are all going, oh, this is going to be a fucking disaster. It's going to be shit. It's like, how do you know? Like, obviously, it's not going to be a fucking suplex and moonsault fest.
Right.
But they're going to do something that's entertaining and don't take it so fucking seriously. Just kick back and get stoned or have 17 beers and watch WrestleMania and just be like, this is going to be fun. And I think that the real problem with wrestling is nothing to do with the wrestlers, because I'm sure they're very good if I kept watching enough, but I watch like once every 5 weeks. I think that the problem really comes down to the fans and the level of seriousness that they take it in.
So that's fair. Now, putting AEW fans aside, as far as the live events go, I don't think the live crowd is any indication of, you know, the temperature of the IWC on Twitter and others. I think the live crowd actually go there because they like this shit or because they support WWE. And I don't think you can really correlate the two together. I think they're just two completely different animals.
There was a couple back in October. I went to a OVW show or whatever the fuck it was, some Irish thing, and they had such mega stars there as Big Demo from NXT, or say Killian Dain from NXT, and Will Ospreay, my favorite. And I was at the show, and it was a surprisingly big show for an indie show. There was about 2,000 or 3,000 people there, and I ended up getting really drunk, and I remember thinking, how the fuck did I get so hammered at a show like this? And then I realized, oh yeah, because nobody was going for a drink. Everybody wanted to watch the fucking stupid matches, so I ended up having a whole bunch of Appletinis. and you just think, like, this is fucking ridiculous. Like, it used to be a fun get together, like, yeah, let's get fucking pissed and we'll watch the match and the matches and then we'll head out afterwards. But now it's like we're going to watch the fights, as they call it. We're going to watch the fights and I will tweet about it to my blog and we will get home and we will hashtag our AEW reviews to Tony Khan and tell him to sign Killian Dane. And you just think, like, no, you fucking cunts. Whatever happened to fun? Do you remember when everything was so much fun?
Well, that's why I think Austin and Owens is going to be fun. And as you know, I guess maybe it depends on, I don't know if there's any travel restrictions still, but typically WrestleMania is a pretty heavy European crowd that fly over to the States to watch it. Most of those people are spending a lot of money, so I'm thinking most of those people are probably Attitude Era fans, and I think they're actually going to be really happy to see Stone Cold at WrestleMania, no matter what him and Kevin Owens do.
Yeah, I haven't been watching Raw or SmackDown, but as I told you in a DM a couple of days ago, I've been binging up on the YouTube clips, and all in all, it seems like it's going to be a great WrestleMania. It doesn't, like, some of the matches on it, like Corbin versus McIntyre, I'm not going to watch. The women's tag team match, I don't know if there's actually a storyline to it, but it'll probably end up being really good. But the majority of the rest of it, like Edge and AJ Styles, could be great.
Yeah.
Lesnar and Reigns. Belair and fucking Lynch could likely be good, because Becky Lynch can be good when she slows down a little bit. I think it's going to be a good event. But that being said, I think that the ticket sales, because I was reading that it's only sold 70% of the tickets, and because of the size of the venue, that's going to be noticeable.
Yeah.
That even though there's only 150,000 people there at these shows, 50,000 empty seats is still a huge number. But I think they just need to go back to one night, one three-hour show, and if people don't make the card, tough shit. Like, there you go.
That's how it used to be. And I remember watching Total Divas one year, and some of the women that were on the show were super upset because another match had went long, and their match got cut from the card. Do you remember? Did you ever see that?
I specifically remember that match, because it was mostly Total Divas, because I watch it every day. Used to be able to Yankee my cranky to it, and I will again. As soon as I can get hard-ons again. But it was the Bellas. It was meant to be the Bellas and two people against the Funkadactyls and some other people.
Yeah.
And they were upset because Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker went long. You know the match that's generally considered the single greatest match of all time?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they were raging that cut into Brie Bella's WrestleMania time. It's like, yeah, tough shit. That's the way it is.
That is the way it is. And you're right, because, you know, splitting up the tickets between two nights, a lot of people can't afford to go to both. So, it's got to piss off a lot of people, and that's why you're seeing it in the lack of ticket sales.
Yeah, and plus, it's like, it would be like if your favorite band announced that we're coming to the local Fire Island Arena, because that's where you live, and they say, but that being said, we're going to have different set lists for both nights.
Right.
And you go, oh, shit, I can only afford to go to one show. And that's the problem with the two-night thing and them not announcing what's happening on which show. I wouldn't have bought the tickets. I'd have stayed at home.
That's a great analogy. I mean, imagine going to, like, Metallica and be like, not knowing what they're going to play. Well, are they going to play, you know, their new album on the first one, and they're going to play all their hits in the second. So, yeah, that's a great analogy. And that's,
we're going to play Saint Anger in full, brother. It's full. Like, I would not have come.
With the shitty drum sound, too.
Yeah, Lars is actually going to play it with fucking vinegar in his eyes.
At the time when this was going on, I'm assuming you were heavy into wrestling, correct?
I had become a casual fan around 2001.
Okay.
Because I remember I can't remember the name of the faction, but the WCW invasion with ECW, or the Alliance, sorry, the Alliance.
Yeah.
And I remember I missed three TVs because this was before On Demand, because I was studying for school. And within those 3 weeks, there was like fucking 20 new wrestlers and all these title changes and heel face turns. And it's like, I'm out of the loop. Yeah. I can't catch up on this shit. But around this time, I remember it being the first time I was aware of, oh, they rely a lot on part-timers, because this card had Austin was a part-timer, The Rock was a part-timer, Hogan, Shawn Michaels was a part-timer. But at the same time, I can remember the really being an internet mark for it at the time. But there was all these rumors of, like, Goldberg had just signed his deal so he could turn up at any time. I remember hearing that Hall and X-Pac were coming back with Nash to potentially do a Click faction with Triple H. So I was always hyped up for that.
Yeah.
Scott Steiner had just come in, and that ended up being a fucking disaster. But yeah, I remember the build to this WrestleMania being really good. And I remember this whole event being really good. And ironically, it was a box office flop.
Yeah, which is weird, because, I mean, you look at the card, it's pretty stacked, especially compared to nowadays. This match came after Shawn Michaels and Jericho, which was a fantastic match. It came after the world title match with Booker T and Triple H. It came after the Undertaker. Well, the Undertaker match kind of sucked, but the intro was cool because Limp Bizkit was there.
Would you like to hear some trivia about that Undertaker match?
Yeah.
I've read that initially, starting in January, the plans for WrestleMania for one of the title matches for Raw was going to be Triple H versus Steiner versus Booker T. And the Booker T was going to get the title. But around early March or something, Goldberg finally signed his contract. And then they were thinking, okay, well, Goldberg versus Triple H SummerSlam, Triple H is keeping the belt. So that fucked it up. Then there was also plans for Scott Steiner versus The Undertaker. But those matches with Triple H were so bad, and Steiner was so out of it, that they were like, he's not even going on Heat.
I was there live at the Rumble when Scott Steiner took on Triple H in Boston, and it was a long match, and it wasn't very good. A lot of people blame Triple H for that, for maybe fucking with Scott and making it go too long, or, you know, calling on the fly and not going home when they're supposed to. But you mentioned Scott Steiner being out of it. What was the deal with him?
Yeah, he'd come in injured, and he hadn't wrestled a match in fucking months, and he was more swollen up than ever. So it's like he came in out of shape. He came in with a bad leg. It's like it was destined to be a disaster. And plus, when you hear all the shit, Bruce Pritchard did an episode about it, that Steiner had so much backstage hate, because in WCW, he'd bullied a lot of people, and a lot of those victims had moved up the ranks behind the scenes. So Steiner was fucked. And he kind of had it coming.
Well, that makes sense. And I didn't know all that. So that's why we have you here. You're the true wrestling insider. During this time, I was still a big wrestling mark. I hadn't got to the point where I couldn't watch it anymore like I do now. So I was super pumped for this. And I love Vince McMahon. I really loved his heel character, and I wasn't a Hulkamaniac. I had gathered respect for Hogan after, you know, his NWO run and all that. But coming in here, no. I hope Vince would have beat the shit out of him, but obviously, you know.
Vince is very likely the greatest heel there's ever going to be, ever. Agreed. And I don't think that he gets a lot of credit, but I think because he's not a wrestler, people don't do that, but I think he was great. And but the other thing I remember about the build to this is, usually when they do a video package, it's all like hard rock music and fucking fast-paced editing. But for this one, I remember they did like an orchestra thing, so it was more like, instead of it being, this is a showdown and it's going to be a bloodbath and we're going to kill, it was more like, this is a tragedy that these two guys have started this thing, and it's come to this. But I fucking loved it. The build to it was great. It was a fun time to be a fan. And the ironic thing is, I can remember watching the Raw the next night, and immediately me just realizing, no, this is not for me anymore.
Right. No, I agree with that. Even though I still faithfully watched. It's funny, we think the product started to fall off during this time, like through 2005, 6, 7, but goddamn, if you look at the numbers, there were more people watching during this time. And really compared to what we're seeing now, it's night and day. It's like saying, you know, like 2001 Nitro sucked, but it's way better than what the fuck we're watching today. It's like funny how things got better with age as compared to the shit we're being fed right now.
But the thing, we're just too old for wrestling. Like I think if we were this age during the Attitude Era and you get Stone Cold Steve Austin going, I'm going to drink a beer, we would probably think, right, so am I.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm an adult, big fucking deal. And we would probably think the DX thing was kind of gay.
That's true.
But back when you're an immature teenager, you're like, fuck yeah, a beer. They're telling people, they're talking about their dicks for 20 minutes. This is great. But and then with the women, the hooriest whores that wrestling ever had, and most of us weren't getting any sex when we were kids. So we're like, oh my God, Sonny or Sable or I can't remember who else was around. Like, do you remember there was a match in 19? Yeah, it was Sable versus Luna Vachon in an evening gown match.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the event. And Luna ripped off Sable's dress and she was wearing fuck all underwear, like the tiniest thong with this big bra. And you're just like, oh my fucking God. Like, this is like that sort of stuff would change your life as a kid. But as an adult, you'd be like, I can't fucking watch that. My fucking girl will go mental.
That's true. And now me being a father, I would never let my daughter watch any of that. I mean, obviously she's 3, but even if she was 7, 8, 9, 10, I would never let her watch that stuff, especially when, like, Miss Kitty, you know, took her freaking top off and her titties were showing. And do you remember that? I'm sure you remember that. Obviously, everybody remembers that. Sergeant Slaughter came up from behind and threw, like, a towel over her. But if my daughter was watching that at, like, 12, 13 years old, like, when my wheelhouse was for wrestling, I'd be like, holy fuck, this isn't appropriate. So fuck all the parents from the 90s that let their kids watch that shit. But, no, you're right. And I think you just... I had a revelation. We are too old for wrestling. It's and now I understand why the neckbeards like the current product, because they're catering to those type of kids that are still young and like the stupid, you know, like AEW, everybody has to flip off the fucking camera and all the cool shit like that. So yeah, you're right, dude. We're too. That's also depressing. We're too old for wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, like this event is. Next year, this event is 20 years ago.
That's crazy.
You know? And but I remember just at the time in life being a lot more excited about shit because I, 2003, because I just started studying media, mm-hmm. which worked out well for me. Now I'm making the clips for Conan. And then also... I remember if I can remember correctly, the week of this show, the first trailer for The Matrix Reloaded came out, and it looked unfucking believable. And I was just so on the high of like, I can't fucking wait to see this film. WrestleMania looks good. I was getting loads of girls back then. I was going out all the time. I never got hangovers ever. I never got any type of ish. It was everything was going great. And had SmackDown Here Comes the Pain come out.
Great fucking game. My favorite game, yeah, actually.
Because you go back and you look at that roster, that's the peak of the rest. Because it had the legends, like it had Hogan, Goldberg, Rock, NWO, fucking Stone Cold, Shawn Michaels was back. Rey Mysterio was in the game. Then you had up-and-comers like John Cena, Batista, fucking Randy Orton was in it. It was, oh my God, that game was fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, it really was. And actually, I was actually went to the midnight showing of Matrix Reloaded. I was super fucking pumped back then, too. So, well, for those of you that are going to watch along with us, let me give you the timestamp. I am on Peacock. I'm not sure if it's the same time on WWE Network if you're in the Euro area. But the timestamp is 2 hours, 10 minutes, 54 seconds. 2:10:54. You mentioned the promo package and how much you loved it. We're going to watch that leading up into the match. So you'll be able to relive it again. But everybody wants to join us and watch along with us. Turn the sound down for the event and go to 210-54. Give us a Brother Martin countdown there, Husey.
How long are we going to be here for? Yeah. I'll just do it from three. Three. My wife was a victim of a virus. Two. I was verbally abused on a sports team. One.
No one's going to be on time. Can you hear it okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
Vince was juiced out of his fucking mind.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Around this time.
No steroid policy. Hogan looked relatively young there. He didn't look really old.
Yeah, but the thing is as well, around this time, I remember Hulk Hogan's 2002 run was surprisingly excellent. So Hulk really was back in the good graces of all the biggest marks in the world, because they were like, fuck, he can really go again.
Yeah.
And those matches were Hulk with Rock and Kurt Angle. And do you remember he was the tag team champions with Edge?
Yep. Yep. That was pretty cool too. He took on Lesnar. He took on Triple H. He took on Jericho. I mean, he was obviously facing the big names.
Yeah, he was having really great matches, because in WCW, as much as I was an NWO mark, he really didn't have that many good matches.
That's true. No, you're right. I love how they're actually showing like the whole steroid trial thing, like actually, you know, not ignoring it.
Did you know that the people who did the O.J. Simpson TV show and the Monica Lewinsky show are doing the steroid trial next?
I did hear about that, and I'm looking forward to that. I'm also looking forward to the Vince movie if it ever comes out.
Yeah, look at the look on his face.
I mean, it's Vince's product, right? Like, who couldn't sell it better than Vince? Like, of course he's the greatest heel of all time, because it's his fucking show.
Hmm.
Stabbing him in the head with a pen. God, he can't do that anymore. The good old days.
That's such a great idea, signing the contract on blood.
Yep. There he is. Pumping iron, pal. Look at my guns.
5 a.m.
Probably 3 a.m.
Yeah.
See, at this point, I'm like, oh, man, Hogan's old. Hogan's washed up, but this is fucking 20 years ago.
Can you believe John Paz got him for an interview?
Oh, yeah, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, shame the audio was so fucking bad, like, but, you know.
Yeah, but still, it's Hulk Hogan. So, I mean, shout out to Paz, who'll be on day 5 here.
Oh, yeah. But that's why with Hulk Hogan, that's why I can't understand these fans who go, he always did the same moves, he never did anything. It's like shut the fuck up.
Right? Well, when did Cena ever have a fucking 5-star tech vest?
Yeah. God, you know what I remember about this is that when Hogan came back, they were still giving him the Jimi Hendrix entrance.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't make any sense to me that why would WWE do that? So, and now they've got this shit. This is one of the problems I hear about the network, is that they've had to redub so much of it, which obviously it's out of their hands, but yeah. You know.
I agree. If they would have played Real American here, I mean, I don't know if the reaction would have been different, but it would have at least fit the character better. Crowd's going nuts, though. I mean, Hogan was over ever since that turn with The Rock.
But I can remember in the build-up for this, it was so huge that they got a real-life sports people. Like, what's that guy, Bob Costas?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I remember fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger did a promo for it on SmackDown, and this was just as Terminator 3 was being hyped up. And you're just like Arnold and Schwarzenegger's talking about wrestling. This is going to be incredible.
What do you think of the commentary team during this time?
I don't like Taz. He's just an unlikable fat little cunt. Don't like him. I remember this entrance being weird. Because didn't they recently played here for like the Royal Rumble or for SummerSlam or something.
Yeah.
And I had the exact same problem with the entrance actually had a turn in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I like the brother on the back. That's funny to me.
But that's the thing about Hulk Hogan. I never get why people call him a bad wrestler, because when he needs to, he can really work a classic.
Oh, absolutely. And if you like technical shit, go back and watch his shit in Japan with the great Muda, Keiji Muda, and guys like that. Dude, he could counter. He could chain wrestle. He was very good. He just didn't have to do it in the States because that's not the type of wrestling that was going on during the time. People wanted the larger-than-life characters. They didn't want technical wrestling. That's why Bret Hart never really got over.
I'm not saying Bret Hart was shit, but I was never that big on him. It was like a strange dullness to him.
Yeah, he has no charisma, for one. I mean, that's really what set him back.
Mm.
Here he is, the boss. God damn, he's jacked. He has to walk like that because his arms are so goddamn big.
That is ridiculous. And he's still to this day fucking like what do you, so if he's 75 today and this was 19 years ago, what age is that?
I don't know. I suck at math.
Yeah, I can't do it.
64? 54? I don't know. I think he's in his mid to late 50s.
So he would be the age now. I mean, in this video, he's the age that Stone Cold Steve Austin is now, so that's why I'm hoping there's the possibility.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be, if there is a match, and I still don't think there is going to be, but if there is, it's just going to be like a fucking, you know, a brawl, like a no-holds-barred, you know, match.
Look there's at
no
his bumps. Fucking lats, my God.
Yeah, dude, it's fucking disgusting. Austin's not going to take any bumps. I mean, that's...
No, never. But he rarely did anyway.
That's fair. What a great way to start off with a fucking slap and a spear.
But the thing that was so crazy, this match ended up being so good that if you've ever seen the DVD cover for WrestleMania 19, it was Hogan and Vince, which is nuts when you consider that, like, Austin's retirement, he wrestled The Rock and all that shit.
See, that was the perfect way to start this kind of a match. Like, typically, like, I like starting off with a good, solid collar and elbow tie-up. You know, matching strength, matching wits. But since there was so much fucking animosity here, I love the fact that they just started going after each other from the get-go. That's the perfect way to start this match.
Mm.
And we know Vince isn't any kind of an athlete either. So to imagine that Hogan had to carry him through this, you know, had to call the match for him, obviously.
That's the thing that's so fucked up about Vince. He's been around athletes every day for, what, 40 years or 50 years, and he's fucking at the gym every day, but he can't walk.
Nope.
Like, even when he's running, it's like his shoulders go down and he runs weird, and he's a really strange body.
Well, as we watched, you know, during the Rumble for Rad Rumble this year, you know, Vince running down at the end of the Rumble match with Batista and Cena, the last two, blows his fucking quads out. So obviously he was never athletic. That was the most athletic thing he probably ever did. But who cares? He's fucking jacked to the gills. Again, he's the boss. Everybody hates him. He's going against the biggest babyface of all time. Well, arguably, with him and Austin. And people are eating the shit out of it, dude. I love this match.
Yeah, but the Vince matches are very rewatchable.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Even like the St. Valentine's Massacre was fun because of the intrigue. The cage match with him and Austin. You know, him giving Austin the finger after, you know, Austin trying to leave the cage. Like, that's brilliant shit, dude.
But I remember this year, Vince wrestled a lot. Like, do you remember his match with them? Undertaker?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and he did that unbelievable blade job. He almost sliced his fucking forehead off.
Yes, I do remember that.
Wow, you know, it's crazy. Like, these guys are obviously, like, they're on stuff. But the youngest one is fucking Hulk Hogan here. And like compare them to the bodies of like Adam Cole and Adam Page and stuff. Like it's they're the size of that referee.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I believe that's Brian Hebner, Dave Hebner's Earl Hebner's son. But I mean, you see Vince doing the fucking knee drop on the arm there. I'm sure that was stiff as fuck because his legs are so goddamn heavy he couldn't even get up in the air for it.
Yeah, you know that that guy Brian Hebner. Now I listened to something to wrestle with, and apparently him and Jericho got into some type of a argument or fight at the previous WrestleMania.
Hmm, I didn't know that. Did they say what it was about?
Yeah, they didn't really go into depth, but.
You think maybe Brian had a chip on his shoulder because his dad is obviously the greatest referee of all time?
Probably.
Which I'm kind of shocked at. Like, you know, Earl didn't referee this match.
Do you think Vince will wrestle at this? At the 38, because that's the whole talk about him and Pat McAfee and Austin Theory.
Yeah, Shepard seems to think that. Ooh, nice. Kick him a little low there. Yes, I do believe that. My theory. That's funny. My theory about Theory is he's going to get whipped in about fucking 3 minutes, and Vince will be out there and say, "God damn it, I'll do it myself," and he'll get in the fucking ring and try to beat Pat, and probably be another 3 minute match. But I do think it's going to happen.
And there's a rumor I was reading online. Apparently, Cena said something in an interview, and I meant to ask Billy Body to check up on it. That Peacemaker might make an appearance at WrestleMania.
Oh fuck!
So like that I don't know if that'll be during the Johnny Knoxville match or whatever, but
maybe
like that I would mark the fuck out for that. If he played that theme music and he did the dance from the intro,
that
would be incredible.
It was a great movie. Yeah, I don't know. That might happen. Who knows? Anything can happen in the WWE.
Yeah.
So
and then all the stuff about how The Rock's going to be involved still with the guest Raffin or making an appearance. Like, I'm sold. Like, I don't understand why people wouldn't. Like, if you look at Mania last year, and there was what they only allowed like 20% of the fans there.
Yeah.
And it ended up being a great show. And then even the year before, there was no fans. It was still good.
Yeah, it was still good. You're right. That bump, nice. So that whole like fucking, you know, wrenching of the hands and all that for like 10 minutes, that shit wouldn't play today. Like, why are these guys holding hands in the ring? Like, where's the fucking high spots? You know.
Yeah, but that's because there's not really anybody muscular enough to get away with that test of strength.
And the ones that are don't get used, like fucking Miro.
Yeah. Yeah, where is he?
Don't fucking in catering, I guess. That who knows?
You see Vince's face. You always remember this.
The look of disdain. Ah, yeah, look at that, dude. Such a character. Just fucking pushes the dude watching the friends. You didn't have to do that. Oh, this is going to be stiff. Oh, okay, he moved. Thank God. What do you think was stiffer to work with, Vince or Shane?
Shane, because Shane obviously grew up with a chip on his shoulder, thinking he's a legitimate tough guy.
Yeah. Plus, he did all the like the, you know, the jujitsu and all that shit, right?
Yeah. So, like you would see how like I fucking hate Shane McMahon. Like he comes out, behaves like a boxer while dressed like a baseball player, so that he can have a wrestling match.
That's true. Was that a headshot to the chair with the chair, by the way? You obviously can't do that anymore.
No, that's the fucked up thing. It's like wrestling from our era has changed. And It's all about the well, not that it was real back in our day, but you could do sort of like harder stuff. Like Disco made a great point where he said that the big difference between wrestling today and from back 20, 25 years ago is the masculinity of it is gone.
Yes, very good point.
But even at that, I can remember back in 2003, people going, oh, it's not as good as it used to be. It was better in the 90s. It was all this. And it's like, that's just, people are always going to say that. And in 15 years, people are going to go, oh, I was never as good as the Thunderdome era and all that shit. Like, it's...
Yeah, I don't think anybody ever say the Thunderdome era was a classic era. I love the way Vince was selling when he first got busted open. Just his face is there. He's wide open, like letting everybody see that he was busted. It's the little things.
See, one of the bumps that's going to come up here, I had this on DVD, and you could switch over to the Spanish commentary. Mm-hmm. And you actually get to hear the sound of Hugo, whatever his name is, get hit in the head with the fucking stir or the chair. And it was loud as fuck. And of course, he does a blade job and then nobody sees it, which just makes it even more pointless.
Right. Oh, yeah. He really wound up for that one.
You know, there's a band.
He bent the chair. Huh?
Called the Spanish Announce Table. And it's all these guys that wear like luchador masks and they do hard rock versions of wrestling entrance thing.
No shit. That's pretty funny, actually. Yeah, Hugo got knocked the fuck out. Like, I think legit got fucked up with that chair shot. Yeah, he laid into that chair. Fucking God damn. Like, the whole front of the chair hit his face. Jesus Christ. Like, he took care of Vince on his shot, but man, Hugo got fucked up.
But I also remember around this time, there was rumors that Bret Hart was going to do a run-in and that Macho Man was going to do a run-in.
Yes, I do actually remember those rumors.
So it was, as a mark, it was really a case of like, this is fucking gold. Oh, is this the, oh,
fucking. And then all we got was Fat Roddy Piper.
Yeah, you know what the thing I always thought was crazy about when Roddy Piper came in? Despite the fact that he's like this legend, he's done some of the greatest shit ever. How fucking amateur he was. Because yes. You could visibly see him talking, going, get up, Hogan, get up, Hogan. It's like, yeah. What are you doing? Like,
this is not going to end well. Both guys doing the blade.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Hugo bladed, dude. I think he legit got busted open hard way. I saw a quick glimpse of his fucked up face there, right there. Yeah, I don't know if that's a blade job or he just got potatoed.
Why was that ladder even propped up in the first place?
Vince took it out. I guess he had grand plans for it. Oh, we're about to find out.
This is excellent. The fact that Vince McMahon would do a leg drop off the top of a ladder through a table, like it's come on, that's brilliant.
It is. Oh, goddamn.
By the way, I get the place to myself on Friday, and that's when I like to watch, because you need time to watch pro wrestling is with the volume up at full.
Yep.
And I watched, there was Nash Hall in 6 against Piper, Flair, and Kevin Green. That match was excellent.
Actually, yes, it was. I've been rewatching the WCW stuff lately, and you're right. Kevin Green was a fucking stud athlete anyway.
Yeah, he was good, although I don't know who the fuck he is.
That maybe,
you know how much that must have fucked Vince up for real
because of
his spinal injury?
Yep, I agree. But it's one of those WrestleMania moments that you'll never forget.
Oh, definitely. But yeah, because we were talking about the Bret Hart and the Macho Man rumors and stuff. But that's the problem that I think wrestling really has, is that the fans build up the possibilities more than what the shows can actually do. Because somebody wrote in the Keep 100 the other day about how WWE did a Madison Square Garden house show, and for some reason the fans were convinced that it was going to be, oh, Cody Rhodes is going to debut,
right,
or Cena's going to debut. And it's like, why the fuck would they do that? And then, so they had it all so built up in their heads, and then the fans complained that it was Austin Theory or something.
Right.
And yeah, they go, yeah, like, but they never said that it was going to be Cody Rhodes.
But hey, that's good hype, though. I mean, even WWE's playing along with it. Like, you know, and Cody was playing along with it as well. Like, Cody says he's going to be at Raw a couple weeks ago, and I guarantee everybody fucking tuned in to watch it. Even AEW fans, just to see if he shows up. So, hey, fuck it. Smart business.
Yeah, because if you've noticed, Raw ratings have, not that they're, like, massive, but the ratings have gone up a little bit.
Yep. I've been watching, and I don't normally watch. I've been watching to see if Cody shows up, so... Yeah, it's smart, dude.
And it is like this here is like, this is exactly the shit that I love. It's the pro wrestling heel sports entertainment shit. I don't want to see super kicks and fucking flips and all that shit.
Right. You just want to see Vince McMahon grab a steel bar.
Yeah, this is my arsehole on the day after St. Patrick's Day.
That's also one of the greatest shots of all time. Ever.
Oh, 100%.
And obviously he planned it that way, but.
Yeah, but see, that's the problem, is that pro wrestling's fake, but the fans today don't want to get into that sort of shit. They go, oh, it's so WWE, so staged and cartoonish. It's like, that's because it's not real.
Right, that's right. Well, you got, you know, Tony Khan trying to tell you it's a sport, and then,
yeah,
does what he does. Yeah, I'll never forget that shot of Vince creeping his face up over. That's just fucking brilliant. And you know what? Another one of my favorite matches ever is Vince against Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. I think it might even been a year after this, but.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So good. Here's the real heel. The real deal heel.
I couldn't believe how out of shape he was, though.
Agreed. I wonder how much time he had, you know, to plan on it. If it was a last minute thing because they couldn't get anybody else. But.
And I thought his t-shirt said farts.
Yeah. He was going through a dark time at this point because, like, a lot of people started dying. And that's who's on the back of his shirt. And I read his first book, and he just was not in a good shape during this time, mentally. So that might have had a lot to do with it.
Watch it, how loudly he keeps speaking to Hogan.
I do miss him, by the way.
Yeah. Did you ever get to meet him?
I did. I got to meet him in Knoxville at a Comic-Con, and he was the nicest guy ever. Like, talked to you like he'd known you for 30 years. Put his hand on your shoulder, like, hey, how you been? You know, you look great. Fucking guy, he loved his fans.
Did you know that Hogan versus Piper was supposed to headline Mania 2 in the cage?
It should have.
Yeah, but Piper had a real bad rap for going against booking plans.
Well, he never wanted the job.
Apparently the plan was Piper was going to win the belt before Mania and then drop it back to Hogan. But they couldn't trust him to do the job, so they went with King Kong Bundy instead.
I heard Piper talk about that years later, and he said, you know, we could have made a lot of money, and he said he would have done the job. And Hogan even said the same thing, so it's just funny in retrospect how they felt. But at the time, dude, Piper never got pinned. And if you look at his career, he hardly ever got pinned. Like, he may be the person that had the least amount of fucking pins in a 30-year career.
Yeah. And the thing about Roddy Piper that's amazing, too, is that everybody loves him, and I love him, but I can only think of one match he's ever had that was good, which was against Bret Hart.
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, WrestleMania 8, I agree. Which, we actually, we're going to be doing a watch-along this week with Drake Wirtz, who was there live during that event in Indy.
He was, oh, fuck, that's my favorite Mania, too. That's a great match. But yeah, because I remember watching this thinking, okay, well, Piper just took out Hogan. Clearly, Macho Man or Bret Hart's going to come next.
And take out Vince, yeah. No, I get it.
Look at this. Dumb fuck. Do you realize how pissed off Vince must have been?
Oh, yes. Yes. I agree. That was pretty bad. But, you know, I think Piper kind of was the right guy there for that spot, because if you think about it, the three of them really started the boom with the whole rock and wrestling, the war to sell the score and all that shit. And, you know, they did leave a lot of money on the table. Of course, they did it later on in WCW during, you know, the Nitro days, but it would have been a lot bigger had they done it in the 80s.
Yeah, but that's, I love, but Piper does seem pretty tough to deal with, because like Disco has all these stories about how Piper would turn up late to shows and he wouldn't even be sober. And then, so they couldn't go over the matches or booking plans.
That doesn't surprise me at all. What the fuck? I don't even remember what the hell this was at the time. Who the hell are the two refs?
Well, that guy is, that's one of the, do you remember La Resistance?
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, 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 yeah.
Right, oh, God, it's just when, see, this is how Hulk Hogan turned everyone into a mark.
Yep.
Right, here's the thing, right? Hulk Hogan did that in every match ever for 30 or 40 years, and every single time that nobody's seen it coming and everybody marked out.
That's true. Like,
that's how fucked up we are as fans.
I love it.
The same thing always happened, and we always pop for it, like, oh, shit!
Because he kicked out of every single finishing move ever. You're right, but this is fucking great, dude. This brings me back to being, like, a 12, 13-year-old.
Yeah, but But that's why I think The Rock versus Hogan is the greatest match of all time, because
good point.
Like, how the fuck do you not mark out to that? Like, it's impossible. You can't not mark out.
I agree. And did you listen to Jim Cornette's watch along of it? It was fucking brilliant.
You know, that it's funny you mentioned that. That watch along is what made me realize how good that match was.
Agreed.
If that makes, like, I knew it was a good match, but then when you hear that analysis and watching it back with it in mind, you're thinking, this is the greatest match ever made, ever done.
That I can't argue with that, because especially when he tells the fact that, you know, both guys, you know, changed roles during the match, like back and forth, you know, one played the heel, one played the face. Yeah. And say what you want about Cornette personally, but fucking guy knows his shit.
Oh, yeah.
God, the crowd's eating this up.
So good.
Of course, Vince wasn't in the right spot, but how many of these extra leg drops do you think added to his back surgeries?
Oh, Jesus. I would assume his back was already a mess.
Yeah. Three leg drops put him away. The fucking crowd loved it.
But you know, the ironic thing is that this match led to a big fallout between Vince and Hogan.
I didn't
because,
know. Because
Mania 19 had a way, way lower buy rate than previous WrestleManias, like a half or whatever. So everybody's bonus check was way, way lower than what they were assuming they would get. So Hogan wanted to get paid more. But Vince was like, listen, here's the numbers. This is what you get. So they fell out, and whatever the future plans were, didn't happen. But shame, you know.
It is a shame, and I was always confused about the Mr. America thing. Like, it was funny, like, Hogan behind the mask, haha, we all know who it is, but they never really paid that off, and all of a sudden Hulk was gone. Like, it was weird.
But then, didn't Hulk wrestle again? He came back to do the Shawn Michaels thing, and then the Randy Orton was the end of it?
Correct, yes.
Yeah.
That was a couple years later, I believe, and God, you ever want to watch? Maybe we could watch that match with Shawn Michaels for this year's SummerSlam. You want to talk about just a douche move by Shawn Michaels?
Yeah.
Overselling everything.
Doesn't Shane McMahon come out here?
I don't remember. Look at the crowd, though. I mean, still, there he is. You're right. Good call, buddy. A very young Shane. It's funny mentioning WrestleMania 8. I think it's the first time I ever saw Shane. He was actually one of the guys that came down that was trying to get Miss Elizabeth like to not come to the ring.
By the way, it was just funny you mentioned that, the Flair and the Savage match. Did you know that somebody, I think it was Bruce Pritchard, said the crazy thing about that match is Macho Man doesn't do the elbow, Flair doesn't do the figure four.
That's true. Actually, I never even realized that. No. That's weird. Shane's like, I just want to take my dad out. Just fuck
off. Do you think Hulk Hogan could fight in real life?
I mean, I think anybody can if given a situation, but I wouldn't fuck with him. Well, I mean, maybe now I would because he's old, but just kick him in the back. I don't know.
Like the fuck Rick Hogan. So would Hulk.
Yeah, that's too far. Too far. That's just a show of respect. They're like, all right, that's.
Yeah, unless there was initially plans for like a Shane versus Hulk match or something.
Maybe. Maybe, but Hogan said, all right, you can have the leftovers.
There you go, that's Vince.
I think Hogan laughed at that too. I don't think he expected that to happen. I think that popped him. Oh man, what a great match. That really was. That was. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up to us because I asked you, you know, do you want to do a watch along? And you're like, yeah. And I gave you the option of what match to watch of hundreds of matches. And you picked a really good one there that, you know, told a great story, had super history together. And obviously we never saw it again, but, you know, it still holds up to me to this day.
Yeah. That's exactly the sort of stuff that I can read. Like I've seen Hogan versus, Brock, maybe 50 times minimum because that sort of shit you can watch again and again and again. I like sports entertainment. I don't like this whole pro wrestling's real shit that CM Punk seemed to be obsessed with. It's like, no, I want to see Ultimate Heels versus Incredible Baby Faces and High Spots and special run-ins and cameos.
Which we may get this coming Sunday, I believe. The match that should end night two of WrestleMania, that is Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns. And, you know, a lot of people said, God damn, we've seen this match so many times. But to be quite honest, we haven't. We've never seen babyface Brock Lesnar against heel Roman Reigns, both of them doing the best stuff of their career, in my opinion. I assuming you're looking forward to that match.
I seen it at the Crown Jewel Saudi event, but it was great. But I think the match is.
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot that happened. I didn't even watch that.
Yeah,
that's pretty sad.
But no, that was a good event. That, but I think that I can't just see it being a regular match. I think that, there's no way The Rock doesn't get involved because we're gonna put him over again. Billy Body has said that The Rock signed his deal for Mania 37, but then obviously when you've only got restricted fans, that it's a waste of bringing in The Rock. And then he was supposed to do it this year, but for some reason he didn't. So legally The Rock has to do it. And his next film doesn't start until, I read, end of May. Huh. So The Rock has nothing to do, that lazy piece of shit. So I think get there, accidentally cost The Rock, Lesnar the belt or whatever, so that you can hint at The Rock versus Brock Lesnar, which never will happen, which will obviously then set up The Rock versus Roman Reigns, which, and I've said it before, I say it again, after The Rock versus Roman Reigns happens, I think WWE is sold to Disney or Amazon, which I hear is very likely. And I think that's it, because really, that is the biggest match you will ever get, ever.
Yes.
Even though Roman Reigns isn't a household name, The Rock coming back for an official final match is it. And like, there's no one left There's no old school guy they can bring back. It's done.
True.
They've officially come to the end. Even people who came from the generation after that, Cena and Batista are too big. You know, like, it's done. And while I will always watch the Royal Rumble, I'll always watch the WrestleMania and Money in the Bank. I'll very likely always watch the rest of it. I just think, skippable.
No, I agree. And that's a great point. You can't go anywhere from Rock and Roman Reigns. Like, that is the marquee match of a generation. And unless they make some bigger stars, which they don't seem to want to do, you'll never get that kind of name value ever again.
But I think that the problem is, it's not just that they can't make new stars. I think it's the fans who won't get behind anyone. Because if you look at them, I can't remember his name. He was married to Daniel Bryan. Right. I remember when he won the belt at Mania 30, it was pretty much overnight. You could always see people going, he's too small. He can't do this. He can't do that. He's played out. And then the same thing happened with Kofi Kingston and Big E,
yeah,
where they try to make new stars and the fans are like, nope, not going to work. So they immediately ruin it all. But I guess there's people like Matt Riddle has potential,
mm-hmm,
and the Steiner guy, whose name I can't remember.
Braun Breaker,
yeah. He has potential, but I in this day and age, I think really what needs to happen is WWE needs to change their marketing of live shows and market it more as, say, like The Party is back.
Yep.
And show fans having a couple of beers with their friends and reacting and going wild instead of a bunch of fucking nerds going, and that was a perfectly executed Hurricane Rana. You just think, no, bring back the fun and let the fans know, no, this isn't a sport. It's a night out. It's a big show, funny sketches, and there's gorgeous women and muscular shirtless men for the ladies and the gays.
I think that's what we're kind of seeing with NXT 2.0, right? I mean, I've watched a little bit of it, and one, it is kind of trying to build new stars that aren't indie darlings and weren't in the business for 20 years working bingo halls. They're actually trying to bring up real athletes that know nothing about wrestling and try to make them into stars. And it is a little bit more gimmicky. It's more tongue-in-cheek. Obviously, Vince and Pritchard are the ones running it now. So I think you are starting to see that try to creep back into the product. And maybe, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, it could get back to that.
Possibly, but at the same time, like in 4 or 5 years, because I'm 37 now, in 4 or 5 years, if I'm still alive, I'll be well in the middle age. So I can't really see me thinking, God, I hope that NXT's house show loop does well. Like, I'll care even less and less. Like, I am, when I seen day one this year, and I thought that was a really great event, and I said, right, I'm going to start watching Raw and SmackDown weekly, so that because I'm always going to watch Mania. And until fairly recently, I was completely out of the loop about what's going on. But now I'm pretty excited for at least half of the matches. I really want to see, as silly as it sounds, the Knoxville versus Sami Zayn stuff, because
I agree.
I have a feeling that that Johnny Knoxville is going to get injured and has to be replaced by, maybe that's going to be John Cena's comeback. He comes in and he squashes Sami Zayn, gets the crowd pop or whatever.
That could be a cool thing. And look, I've enjoyed the build up between Sami and Knoxville. Like, Knoxville putting Sami Zayn's phone number on a, you know, flying behind a plane. Like, that's fucking, I don't even know if that was his real phone number or not. But Sami playing it on Twitter saying, got fucking hundreds of voicemails and calls, like, stop fucking calling me. That's good shit.
Yeah, and this Cody Rhodes stuff, because it's weird, because I'm not a Cody Rhodes fan.
I'm not either.
But I love the fact that people don't know what's going on, and it's driving all the insiders fucking insane.
Yes.
Because nobody knows. Because like, half of me hopes that it doesn't happen, simply because it would then expose so many dirt sheet writers,
yes,
as full of shit.
Yes, correct. That would be the payoff, right? The real big payoff.
And the thing, it's funny because WWE hasn't said Austin's going to wrestle Kevin Owens. They haven't said Cody Rhodes is going to be there. The fans have.
Yes.
So they'll be the ones who then go, oh, the WWE didn't follow up on their... It's like, well, they never promised. They never
did. Yeah. No, that's a great point. I think Cody's going to show up at Mania, or at least the Raw after. But you're right. Like, nobody even is thinking of the fact that what if he doesn't? What if this is all just a fucking a rib, you know, between Tony and Vince? Like, who knows? With Ring of Honor being purchased, you know, that's when people started thinking, oh, Cody's just going to come back and fucking run Ring of Honor and stick it to Tony, and that'll be their kind of Vince versus Shane thing. And then you got the dirt sheets and the insiders trying to spoil everything and tell you that Cody has inked a deal. But we don't know when he's going to show up, and you're right. It's very hard to get people anticipated and excited about something that may or may not happen with all the spoilers and all that and digital social media. It's hard to reproduce. Like when the Hardy Boys showed up a few years ago, they went so far as having a party like an hour before the fucking event. And I don't think anybody really thought they were going to show up. And when they did, the crowd lost their fucking minds. And that's hard to do.
Yeah, but the problem with that, though, was the Hardys came back. And while everybody marked out for it, then you quickly realized, oh, fuck, they're old now.
Right,
yeah. And, like, Matt Hardy walked like he'd just been gang raped because his back's so bad. Yeah. Jeff Hardy... has substance abuse issues, and that's not going to get helped by continuously taking these big bumps as you get older. And right. And you just think, like, while it was a great moment, at the same time, it's like, it's time to go home. You know, just stop.
Yeah. I mean, you're like, all right, it's almost like Pritchard says, and then the bell rings. Like, the great buildup, everybody popped for it, but then you're like, oh, shit, it's the Hardy Boys. They're not the Hardy Boys of 1998.
Exactly.
So, all right, buddy. Very good match. Thank you for joining me on this watch-along. Let everybody know where they can find you and what you got coming on.
I'm at The Hughesy on Twitter, at The Hughesy on Instagram. To hear the great podcast, which, speaking of WrestleMania, at the time of recording this, my next episode, I did a WrestleMania preview with good friends of yours, the Aussie guy and Grappler 6 and 7, who I think are also on the next Get My Go, which I think will be out today, if Durban told me correctly, not too sure. But anyway, they'll be on that, which you can find the video version of it. I'm going to be putting the video version on Keeping Them 100 so that people can fully embrace the Grapplers' charisma. They're very funny to me. Speaking of Keeping 100, if you're a pro wrestling fan, go to Keeping 100 Official on YouTube. That's the official YouTube channel for the extremely controversial podcast hosted by Conan and Disco Inferno.
Are you ever going to show back up on K100? Are you banned from the show?
Probably not, because I don't watch... The last time I watched wrestling live was Crown Jewel, the 2021. So I'm never there to watch the shit live. So I hopefully maybe for the summer extravaganza, the Joe Feeney's sausage barbecue extravaganza. Let's get the shirts made.
We definitely need to check that out. And you can find those where, Husey?
Keeping 100 stuff?
Nah, God, you're supposed to plug the pro wrestling tee shit. Come on, dude, you're a pro.
I don't know. I don't get any cash on that. So fuck it. Just check out the YouTube. That's all that matters to me.
You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at RadRobGaming. Check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/RadRobGaming. Streaming every Tuesday night and Saturday night, somewhere around 7 Eastern or whenever I feel like getting on. Check out my YouTube page, RadRobGaming. And final thoughts, actually, WWE 2K22. I'm hearing a lot of, I wouldn't say people that are pissed off lately, but I heard there's a lot of bugs in the game. You've been playing it. What are your thoughts on it?
I honestly love it. I've been playing mostly the the MyRise option. See, the problem is I've been told by, a certain that I can limit my playing to about 90 minutes a day, because if not, I'll play it all fucking day. So there's a whole lot of it that I haven't played. But I think that the issue that's happening with the game is because it's being updated all the time and there's new downloadable content, that there's too much for the, what would you call it, the mainframe, if even that, too main. So I think that it's a 4.5 out of 5 game that will be 5 stars once the end of the DLC comes out.
Interesting, interesting. The only complaints I've really heard about is like the GM mode not being long enough. It's only a year. You're limited to only a certain amount of match types. And once you beat it, I mean, what do you fucking do after that? Now, a buddy of mine, MSG, Matthew Schaffer-Gage, just played the game, but about 10 hours into it. He said the gameplay is kind of slow. Would you kind of agree with that?
Well, for me, it took me about 3 or 4 days to really learn the controls. But since then, I think the gameplay is fucking amazing. And there's nothing... The 8-way ladder matches are practically impossible to win, but holy shit, they're fun.
Yeah, I saw Chris Danker on Dank Ops on YouTube watching his MyRise, and yeah, I watched him win a ladder match, which is fucking like ridiculous what he had to do to get everybody out of the ring, and the little mini game you got to play to get the fucking the belt down. Ladder matches have always sucked in these games because it's just the AI is just fucking stupid. And it's they're very hard to win. That's the match I least look forward to playing. But I think I'm going to wait until maybe it's discounted a little bit before I buy it. I'm still not completely sold on the overall game. Entrances aside, we already know how I feel about that.
The problem I think with the lineup with the games list is I don't really know the majority of modern wrestlers.
Right.
So it's not like, oh God, I can't wait to play as fucking, The Rock, or I can't wait to play as Steve Austin, who are in the game, obviously, but there's a lot of newer guys that I've no fucking idea who they are.
Yeah.
But I have heard that there's going to be a big NXT DLC coming up. So there's going to be a shitload of those people going in. So that could be good.
Are you actually going to purchase that, or you don't even know who they are either?
Well, I got the I paid for the deluxe edition.
Okay, you put the money up front. All right.
Yeah, gotcha. So I get it all for free. Oh yeah. Well, free-ish.
Ish. Yeah. All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed this watch along with the one and only Husey and I. We'll be back tomorrow, day two. My interview with Chad Lale, who is Gunner from TNA, or Jackson Riker, however you know him as. We'll be talking about his favorite WrestleMania moments and his involvement in WrestleMania. During his run with the company. So tune in that for tomorrow, and we'll see you in I fucked that up. Tune in tomorrow with my interview with Jackson Riker, or Gunner, as
he's
known by.
Remember when you fucked it up the first time you tried?
Thanks, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Tune in tomorrow for my interview with...
Because when I interrupted there, that probably would have messed up the...
I get enough of this shit with the Ocho. I don't need it right now. Just come back tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to this episode of RTW Rewind. For all the latest news and announcements, please follow us on Twitter at RTW Brand. You can also follow Rad Rob at Rad Rob Gaming. You've been listening to RTW Rewind exclusively here on the Rad Rob Radio Network.